Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion?" A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." He said in reply, "I will not," but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, "Yes, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Last week, my wife and I spent several hours waiting for a miracle. And then it happened. 10 days ago, at 7:53 a.m., my newest granddaughter made her appearance into our world and into the arms of her loving parents. Shortly thereafter, I was blessed to hold this frail little life in my hands for the first time. And once more, I was overcome by a love so deep, so intense, and so immediate. I was in awe of this new creation, this amazing gift from God, this little miracle. Tears of joy and gratitude welled up in my eyes as I blessed baby Maria while tracing the sign of the cross on her baby brow. A miracle, a new life, a new soul created by God 9 months ago was now part of my family. Some would say, "Well, yes, babies happen all the time. They're everyday miracles." But they're miracles nonetheless. And this miracle changed me. My family was changed. And our world was changed. And of course, you wonder, what does God have planned for his newest creation? She's already changed my family. How else might she change our world? Today we celebrate Respect Life Sunday, in the beginning of Respect Life Month. And I'd like to tell you the story of another baby and another mother who respected life and how her respect for life has changed your world. In 1954, Joanne Schiebel was a young college student who discovered she was pregnant. In the 1950s, her options were pretty limited. She could have an abortion. At that point, of course, they were illegal and even more dangerous than today. Or she could raise the baby herself. But she decided to have the baby and put him up for adoption. And so it was that in 1955, a California couple named Paul and Clara Jobs adopted a baby boy born out of wedlock and named him Stephen. We knew him as the late Steve Jobs. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, a smartwatch, cell phone of any kind, you can thank Steve Jobs, and you can thank his mother, Joanne Schiebel, who chose life. If you want to know just how much one life can matter, this is just one example. Unfortunately, there have been many other pregnant mothers who have made a very different choice. In fact, the majority of abortions today in the United States occur in women under the age of 25. Millions of babies have never had a chance to take their first breath. And the horrifying truth is this: we now live in a culture that does not respect life, but discards it like trash. And not only at the beginning of life, but also at the end, in every place in between. What in the world are we doing? There are now 6 states that have passed laws making it legal for doctors to assist the elderly and the terminally ill in the taking of their lives. Even more frightening is that this right to die legislation has been introduced in 30 more states this year, including our own state of Indiana. What in the world are we doing? 31 states still allow the death penalty, and for the past several years, most discussion has been on the best way to kill our fellow citizens. with much less discussion on whether they should be taking this life at all. When someone is executed, there's always crowds outside the prison cheering. I've seen news stories about people throwing execution parties. Now, as Catholics, we can disagree about whether the death penalty is needed, but I pray that we can all agree that celebrating and cheering any death is an appalling affront to the life God has given us. What in the world are we doing? Just this past August, Iceland was celebrating because 100% of all babies identified with Down syndrome have been eliminated. Eliminated. That translates as killed in the womb. And right here in our own country, it's estimated that 90% of Down's babies are aborted. Here and elsewhere in the world, sex-selective abortions are becoming common and accepted by many. Women who are pregnant with twins or triplets are choosing to eliminate one or two of these infants in their womb so they can have control over their size of their family. What in the world are we doing? Human life is threatened today in so many ways that we often fail or refuse to recognize. In addition to the issues I've already mentioned, we face proposals and policies that favor assisted suicide, human cloning, illicit reproductive technologies, and the blight of thousands forced into human trafficking. And of course, the unjust treatment of immigrants and selective enforcement of immigration law. What in the world are we doing? Brothers and sisters, today many in our world have decided to play God. And life is always threatened when imperfect humans play God. And isn't that what we find so unsettling about the terrorism and evil in our world today? How can one person decide whether another person will live or die? By its very nature, human life demands an absolute protection from conception to natural end. Respect for the dignity of every human being must be upheld and witnessed to always, at all times, even when it places us in opposition to friends and family, politics, and the ever-changing culture of our world. We must humbly acknowledge that life is indeed often messy, inconvenient, difficult, and even painful. But nothing and no one is ever unplanned or unwanted, especially when the one doing the planting and the wanting is God Himself. In our first reading day, we heard the people cry out and say, "The Lord's way is not fair." But the Lord responded by asking us, "Is it my way that is unfair? Or rather, are your ways unfair? Is it fair that those who have power and control determine who might live and who might die?" And today, St. Paul reminds us to do nothing out of selfishness and to humbly regard others as more important than yourself. We don't seem to be listening to these words. Regard others as more important than yourself. How does that play out when some decide to end the life of an infant in the womb or to execute a human being? How do we reconcile that with assisted suicide or euthanasia? How will you explain to Christ that you turned away the immigrant who was here simply trying to find a better life for himself and his family, or just decide to ignore the horrors of human trafficking? St. Paul sets us straight in our second reading. He says, "Haven't you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus?" We can attain that same attitude of Christ only when we work to change not only laws, but hearts as well. And our own heart must come first. Having a heart that values all life allows us to develop that true attitude of Christ. And only then can we pass on what every Christian must certainly know to be true. Life matters. Every life. Everywhere. At every moment. We must teach our children that no one is ever discarded. No one, no life is wasted. Because every life is the incredible work of God. The culture of death will end only when we can defeat our own selfish desires and finally realize that love is so much greater than fear. In the end, we will make our lives a continuing prayer. A prayer that isn't afraid to plead, to ask, to question, to hope. Prayer that embraces the beautiful truth of our most popular prayer in the world. thy will be done. Prayer that is able to trust completely. It will end when we see life is not a problem to be solved, but as a gift to be embraced. It will end when we simply choose life. Beautiful, chaotic, unpredictable, explosive, and crazy life we find ourselves in. Life is never something to be discarded because it is difficult or inconvenient, unexpected, old, or sick. It is so much greater than we realize. We must always value life above all else. That's what Joanne Schiebel did. And our world was changed. If we truly have the attitude of Christ, we will be a people with an unconditional love of life. All our words and actions must be consistently and unconditionally pro-life. Every life must be respected. The child in the womb, the grandmother in the last stages of cancer, a woman with Alzheimer's, the man sitting on death row, the immigrant, the drug addict, the homeless, the poor. Respect life for us as Christians must be so much more than just a catchphrase. It must be our way of living. Respect life, again, not just in the womb, but everywhere, at every time, in all circumstances, within our own families, our own communities, the places we work. Treating every life with dignity and honoring every life as the miracle it truly is. By doing that, moment by moment, we'll begin to change our culture. And heart by heart, we will change our world. And another miracle will have occurred.